too bad. It's sticking fine. I sure am glad it be working. Ain't no jerking around certain notes. You know how we do. Hey, lots of folks do too. They just don't know that I've been setting the template for the whole damn world for such a long time now. Interesting though it seems, I'm the creator of the physical world. Get templates in my dreams. Generally over there it's more alright. I got a real swell homemade Labrador, right?
When you put it all together, we are a compendium of all that is just in our galaxy.
Right.
We just don't know it yet because we've been pushed down, suppressed, spanked. Just, you know, they did a number on us. They really, really did. But that's ending now. So. Yeah. But we are, we're a compendium of all that is in our galaxy.
I want to go back a little bit where you said that when you were found on the table and you had Visayas next to you, the A's, and they showed you your past lives. Since, I mean, did you remember them straight away, your past lives, when you saw them?
No, the first thing I did was react emotionally to them. But there were several where I was a warrior.
Oh, me too.
And some of those were not on Earth, and some of those were Earth. And I'm going to say that the energy and the manner in which we conducted ourselves, we were knights. K-N-I-G-H-T-S. Mm-hmm. And to this moment, I always resonate to that. There were other lifetimes where I was not a human. I was something in the water, some type of an aquatic being that drowned, and I was shown that. I don't know exactly why, but that's the first thing that my cellular memory showed. So obviously, according to Morinay, years later, that was a trauma I would need to address at some point. And the other ones, I have to honestly tell you, I barely remember, other than being some kind of a hairy thing.
Oh, that's what I am now, Alex!
Giant hairy beast that was fighting what looked like dinosaurs on some other planet, and there were others behind me who were just like me, and we were battling these huge dinosaurs on this planet, and around the dinosaur's feet were all these little beings that were running for their lives from fear of the dinosaurs. So we were there to help. But I immediately resonated, for the most part, on those where I said the energy was very symbolic of a knight. And, you know, that's something I've always done ever since I was a kid, was try to defend those who couldn't, and to stand up for those, and to push back against bullies and things like that.
So when you said you was emotionally connected, you know, you became emotional, was you angry? Was you happy? Was you sad? Or was you just overwhelmed? What kind of emotions are we speaking about?
I didn't get overwhelmed until several days after the experience.
Creeped up on you.
And I'll get into that. But during the process of seeing it, it was fear, anger, confidence, sorrow, especially when I saw myself being taken out. It was almost as if I was reliving it, that moment then, right there on the table.
I see.
Now, several days later, after I got the crap kicked out of me for disappearing, and I tried to explain to my mother, and it didn't go well, what had happened, then I began to like, wow, what was that all about? You know, what did I actually just experience? I couldn't make heads or tails of it, because for however long I was with them, I was in a completely different reality. Completely different, one that I totally resonated to, and I would have been okay staying. I absolutely would have been. Because it was familiar, Nicholas, and I knew it was familiar. And then here I am down here, and it's like, you can't do this, you can't do that. No, 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 you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, where are you going? Stay here.
Oh, they try to break us.
It was all this control and suppression.
Oppression.
And that's kind of when it hit me. And then I started like, wow, what was that all about? And you go through the different phases. Was I dreaming? Did that actually really happen? Am I nuts? You know, I can't tell anybody this because they'll think I'm crazy. And that's literally what happened, you know, up until I was 18, 19. And then my dad had an experience. We were living in upstate New York. And my dad used to get up in the middle of the night to get a snack. And he would go downstairs, get a snack. Well, I was in school, and I would always read my homework late at night. So it wasn't unusual for me to fall asleep with a light on and the book, school book, textbook on my chest. So my dad saw my light on. He opened up the door, and he said he saw me floating in and then being put down onto the bed. And he said there was a little light in the corner of the room. And he goes, it moved around the room. It looked at all my books. And then it stopped right by my head, and it looked right at my dad. And he goes, and I saw it. He goes, it looked right at me. And then he said it flew right through the window without breaking. So he said he quietly closed the door, and he went downstairs. And when I got up in the morning, took a shower to grab something to eat downstairs, that's where I found my dad, was at the breakfast table. And I'm like, and I'm like, hey, Dad, what's going on? And he said, hey, sport, have a seat. And whenever it was a serious discussion, it was always sport, you know? So he sat down and he told me what happened. And that's when I shared with my dad everything. And it was really interesting. My dad was a devout Catholic.
Me too.
He only had a couple of questions. The first one was, do they hurt you? And I'm like, no, they're actually our friends. They know all about you, Dad. They think you're great. You know, they look after us. And he goes, okay, where are they from? And I told him. And then he paused and he goes, is there a God? And I go, yes, Dad, there is. There definitely is a God. And at that point, you could see the sigh of relief come over my father. And Nicholas, my father was a devout Catholic. He always prayed to the Sacred Heart. He never wanted to go there again. And then years later, when he was very, very ill, and I went down to Florida to see him before he had went into the hospital, before he crossed over, he had remarried, and my stepmother, we were outside, and there was a huge ship. Spaceship in the sky over Florida, which is not unusual.
No, it's got
so
ships over
Arlene,
Florida.
His wife, turned to me and she goes, did they follow you? And that's the first time I knew that she knew anything about it. She never said anything growing up, but that's the first time. So they knew. A lot of people just don't know how to go there, because once you open up a can of worms, people's belief system and the reality that they're living, the construct that they have of who they are in this reality, begins to unravel.
You know, we've been opening up that can of worms week after week right here on Space Plane, and some folks still don't get it. But I know there's lots more that do get it. Stay tuned until 2 a.m. You're listening to some Jacko Pastorius, Liberty City, which is where we all fitting to go.
Oh, I have passed the train. threshold.
Energy is transmitted to me. The transmission of occult knowledge.
I'm intense with the light. I'm intense with the light. It is simply my natural state of being. All right. Pick up a shovel and dig.
Stand one day and watch mother go home. Glory to God. I stood on the banks of Jordan. Watched the ship of Zion go sailing over. Stood on the banks
dead in one day. Stood on the banks of Jordan, yes I did, Lord, to see the ship go by. I stood on the banks of Jordan, thank God, to see Lord, I've got my ticket. Leave, don't leave me down here. You took my father. You came back and got my mother. You took everything to me that was so dear, and all I could do was stand there on the banks of Jordan. Mother was going home. Oh, yes, I did. Oh, yes, I did. and my friends are leaving here too. I see their ships go by. Oh, Lord. Oh, yes, I do. Every week or so, I'm standing by the graveside. Oh, Lord. To see somebody's ship. Somebody's ship.
Not everyone's ready for that. They're not ready to look at something that isn't what they see every single day. Or they're just not willing to know that there's more beyond what you're seeing every day. And, you know, everyone has their own reasons. So it's been interesting. It's been a real process. And, you know, like we were saying before we started the talk today, amazing how much information is coming out now.
Yeah.
And for those of us who started back 30 years ago and we were kooks, nuts, frauds, you know, it goes on, antichrists, demons, all that shit, you know, we're having to adapt now to the openness, to being able to share the information openly without having to worry about imperial entanglements.
Imperial entanglements.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you had your experiences with seeing your past lives. You've had this experience of meeting the Andromedans. You've been on the spaceship. You've seen how they are, peaceful they are. I mean, just to make it clear to the viewers, the Andromedans are our ancestors, or we're their ancestors.
They are our ancestors. We are their third density cousins.
Right, got it. In the density level.
Yes.
So you've had this experience, and when you had to, when you knew, when as a child, when you knew you had to continue your life here on Earth, do you feel that because you remember everything and you had that experience, do you feel that you're suffering here on Earth? Do you feel that? Because you can feel the contrast, whereas we don't feel it. This is all we know.
There have been periods of my life where I completely rebelled. There have been times where I tried to leave. Intentionally leave. There have been times where I would just find a place in the wilderness, and I would try to stay there for as long as I could. When I was living in Malibu, and of all things, I had a tax practice. You talk about the duality, the dichotomy there. I would go up into the Santa Monica Mountains, and there was a cave. And I would go, and I would hike in food. And then I would go and spend a week there, just me and the dog, away from everybody.
Sounds pretty nice to me.
Just so that I could get so quiet that I could hear my own frequency. I had to hear my own frequency. Now, when I'm on board the ship, I know my frequency. It's crystal clear, it's loud, and I vibrate of it. When I come down here within 36 to 48 hours, shortly thereafter, I can't feel my frequency anymore.
You're back in the shit.
Because of the noise, the frequency, the fear.
Psychic pollution.
The bombardment of microwaves, all of it. I can't hear my own frequency. And I do this to today. I tell everyone that I can, you know, in the webinars, you know, you have to spend some time in nature to get grounded. And when you're grounded, you can hear your own frequency because that's where you connect to source. And, you know, that source isn't just God, it's yourself. You yourself, you have a presence on fourth density, fifth density, sixth density, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, maybe even 12th.
50
because you're clearly an evolved being. So you can reconnect to all of those moments of yourself on all those dimensions. And when you do that, Nicholas, when you can get grounded in that space and you can ask for help, you can ask for guidance. Yourselves are obligated to help you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be able to recognize the information when it comes down. Because if we're all out here, you'll never see it. You'll never hear it. You have to go within. And the best place to do that is somewhere where it's quiet, where it's nature. Some people do it in meditation. For me, I have to be in nature.
Me too, Alex Collier.
Because that's, to me, I always see God. Every time I go into nature, no matter whether it's the same spot or not, it is never the same. God is always changing it. I always see progression. So that's the importance of this moment that we're in. Because someone like you, when you hear and you...
When he says someone like you, he's talking to Nicholas Beniami. Nah.
Know your own frequency. You can pull all the information you need right down to you, right here, now, in the present. And now you're empowered. Now you are totally self-empowered. And I dare say you are walking in the same footsteps as a Jesus or any other enlightened being.
Visayas and the, you know, the Ace, the Andromedans, and you say that they have blue skin. What kind of texture is their skin? Is it similar to ours?
Yes, it's very much like ours.
Do they have hair? Like, do they have hairstyles?
The Zenitaeans do not have hair. Now, if they have it on some other place of the body, I don't know, because they're always wearing suits. I never saw them naked.
So they do wear clothes.
Yes.
What kind of
bodysuit?
A bodysuit, not like the way we wear clothes.
No, their suit does everything, and I understand they only have two or three for a lifetime, but it essentially does everything for them. It's a heater, an air conditioner, purifier. It does everything.
I got some clothes like that.
It protects them from heat, chemicals, solar rays. Different type of energy frequencies that may be prevalent in their dimension, that I don't know, but that's what it's for. And as they grow, they're given a new suit. And the suits are made specifically for them. They're each individually manufactured for them to wear. And it's self-cleaning. It does everything.
Elvis had a suit like that.
It's a remarkable piece of technology.
Do their faces look like our faces?
Yes.
Oh, so they're very similar, just more...
They're very, very similar. Except they're a little bit bigger bone. Yes, and they have a little bit longer cranium in the back. Not as huge like we've seen in some of the Egyptian or the Mayan or Aztec skulls. It's not at all like that, but it's a little bit. But they're just bigger. They're more
like a... They're very aesthetic, healthy, fit, like they've been to the gym. Okay, got it.
Yeah, they look like professional wrestlers.
Was it I was getting at? Oh yes, I do recall. It was something along these lines. Can y'all hear that?
Am I gonna have a problem with you? Am I gonna have a problem with you? Look. Can y'all hear that? I think you can.
Let it be known that I got the master plan. Don't think I know. God dang. You got things all misconstrued. If you think I can't, every time I bust this rap, people in the crowd.
Pictures of the sound. I said paint, not faint.
I got to get more rest here. Oh, I know that y'all can get better with that. Okay, you be more dope than that. More so the definition of fat. I think not. So don't stop. King, you know the thing to make all the dimensions come along and swing. Inner sun of the inner earth. Gonna tell its story and let everybody know that they're meeting glory.
listening to Space Plane on CKUT 90.3 Ride Dial until 2 a.m. This is some Miroslav Vitaus from the album Purple. And we're gonna hear a little bit more from Alex Collier in conversation with Nicholas of any army. A chicken!
Okay, right, so can you speak to me more about their lifestyle, or what they do? You know, that you, I remember you saying that some of them have never been to their home worlds because they travel in ships and they stay in the universe, in space, and they've got these huge ships and they've got everything that they need, and they you know, they reincarnate and all of that. Could you explain to me both sides, their home worlds, their spaceship, and how they live and how they see life and what life means to them and what their goal is?
Well, I don't know that I can answer all of those questions.
Yeah, really, that's a lot.
I know for a fact I can't. But from what I have observed, they are a remarkably healed race. They don't have conflict amongst themselves. They don't appear to have conflict within themselves, or if they do, it's dealt with. What I have seen for the most part is that they're very happy. They're constantly exploring. They are constantly learning. Their entire civilization is built on the structure that what the oldest and wisest know, the youngest are taught. And they call that the law of consistency. So that, in other words, you know, they live on an average of over 2,000 years. So going through an educational program of, let's say, 150 years is like nothing for them. But no matter what your age group is, and I guess this has to do with the quality of the soul and their ability to know and to learn, whatever new information they discover or uncover about their realm, fifth density, or fourth or third, everyone on board or in that civilization is taught the same thing. It is shared with everyone. Do you remember in the old days, in the West, whenever you went to an old schoolhouse, all the children were taught together in the same classroom. It didn't matter what your grade level was. This is exactly the same principle, except it has to do with age. It doesn't matter what your age group is. You're all taught the exact same thing because they're very specific about the law of consistency, that when their younger generations come to a place of maturity, they have an opportunity to go somewhere else, do something else, become part of a different group, let's say another starship that's exploring a different part of the universe. They have that opportunity. And what they take with them is all the knowledge that they've acquired, that everyone's acquired, from, let's say, Morinne's mothership. So that information goes to another group. That information is then shared with the other star group. And the children, as they grow up and they become mature and adult and begin their families, it's the exact same thing. They educate all the way down to the very bottom, the exact same thing. So everyone, regardless of age, is exactly in the same place, mentally and spiritually.
future. Nav's here. Eric has arrived to our rescue. Anyway, 333 from Boston. We'll be playing about 3-4 songs for you. And then we'll be back to Tegan Ganacho. Are you ready?